Okay, hey everybody. Welcome to episode 26 of Gamer Heroes. I am a very tired Derek, but I've got my co-host John here with me.
Welcome back, guys.
So, how you doing, man? I'm all right. I've had better weeks. We don't really talk about like non-gamer stuff on the show much. You know, we don't really talk about the weather and things like that, but I think we should sometimes, and I'm gonna do that. So we've had two really bad storms, and the first storm on Saturday night took down my big oak tree in the backyard, which knocked down all the power and internet lines for the whole block because they're all above ground. And that took 3 days for power and 4 days for internet. And then the very next day, we got another storm, and my entire basement flooded. About 6 inches, 5-6 inches of standing water.
Dude cannot catch a break. Let's whole just say basement. That. Like, he can't catch a break.
Man. And that was today.
Yeah.
So, that's what I've been dealing with all day today. And I'm pretty tired, man. I'm pretty exhausted. So, we're going to talk gaming stuff. We've got some news. We do have a main topic. And we're going to talk a little bit about the SNES Classic. We might hit on Pokemon Go Fest and some Blizzard stuff. And then we'll be talking about Ready Player One as its first trailer dropped during SDCC.
I think that sounds excellent. Sounds like a plan.
All right, so let's do this. So, SNES Classic, for those who don't know what that is Nintendo's miniature version of the Super Nintendo that comes with 21 built-in games and no cartridge slot. Basically the same as the NES Classic, but with 9 fewer games, $20 more, and an extra controller. Plus longer cables on the controllers.
So worth it.
It's totally worth it, yeah.
So worth it.
But they kind of went on pre-order, and people, you know, who knew that the NES was really hard to come by were scrambling, and Walmart put up pre-orders for the SNES Classic. Did you even see those pre-orders go up?
No. Like, much like most of Amazon stuff, like when they claimed they put the Switch up, you know, how many times they said that already? A couple times, right? I've never even seen
never,
it. And
never.
It's still an alert. I own a Switch, and it's still an alert for me. And I never even see it.
No, it never pops up. I didn't know about the Walmart pre-orders until well after they had sold out. So,
which is a good thing and a bad thing. Again, like, I love that the resurgence of retro gaming is coming back. Just go get a real Super Nintendo, seriously.
Well, okay, so this does have Star Fox 2 on it, and I really want to play Star Fox 2.
The long-lost game. I understand.
And for those of you out there who are like, but you can play it now, you can play an incomplete beta version of the game illegally. Yes, you can do that. I would like to play the completed final product of the game in the least shady way possible. So just throwing that out there. Anyway, for those of you, though, who didn't get a chance to pre-order, because if you did get a chance, you probably know this by now, Walmart has canceled every single one of the SNES Classic pre-orders that went out this past week, because it was apparently a technical glitch, and they were not supposed to be on sale yet. Now, I gotta be honest.
Way to go, Walmart.
I'd be pretty fucking pissed if that happened to me.
So what are they doing to help those people who did? Like, I mean, you gotta get a gift card or something.
As far as I know, not a thing.
You screwed me over, is what I would be telling Walmart.
It was a technical glitch, and so as far as I know, there's nothing happening for those people. So if you got one, they're very sorry. They're, quote, truly sorry. But I think that's gonna be it. I mean, you are gonna get, you know, paid back, but, you know.
But, like, at this point, doesn't it make sense to do pre-orders? I'm just a little confused, as the product is supposed to be released on the 29th of September. Switch was up in March, and it released, or excuse me, but it was up in January and released in March.
There's a lot of FCC laws, though. Like, that's why the Xbox One X, the Scorpio, is not for pre-order yet. It hasn't passed certain FCC regulations, and so technically something cannot be for sale until it's an approved product. And so there's a street date for when things are GA, of course, but there's also a date for when things are available for pre-order. And so they basically jumped the gun.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Amazon does that too, but they never put it up for... They put the listing up, but they never put the actual pre-order.
And Best Buy's got the listing too. Like, there's nothing wrong with having the listing, but you can't let anybody pre-order it yet. So if you didn't get a chance to pre-order one, that's probably good for you in this particular case. And for those of you who did, I'm really sorry. That sucks.
Yeah.
But hey, at least you're not getting charged for it, right? Because that'd be super sketchy. And you'll have another chance. So keep your eye out on all the major websites, of course. Target said that they should be having them at some point soon. So keep an eye out on their website. But that's what's going on there. I guess in other related terrible news, for those of you...
sorry, this one's laughable as hell.
I feel bad, though, so...
I don't.
Pokemon Go has been trying really hard to keep itself alive and keep people interested.
I've been calling it Pokemon trying to stay a go, because that's not happening.
Wow. Well, here's the thing. They did what they called Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago, Illinois, and people traveled far and wide, and as an avid professional sports person who... knows the pain of a Super Bowl. Something like this has happened before. So back when the Super Bowl was last in Dallas, Pittsburgh was playing. I'm drawing a blank on the other team. And a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans went out to Dallas for the game. And when they got there, a lot of these guys, the ones who spent $750 a ticket, discovered that their seats didn't actually exist.
Oh, sounds like a United airline issue.
So what happened was, is Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, in his infinite wisdom, decided to add additional seating for the Super Bowl, but they were added so late that the fire marshal was not able to inspect them for safety purposes, and so they were not allowed to seat anybody there. So people had hotels, plane tickets, long train rides, whatever it was, fast food, to go to Dallas from Pittsburgh and other parts of the country, only to find out that they have to watch the game from one of the stadium bars on the TVs.
Oh, man.
So,
that's rough.
At a lesser extent, Pokemon Go Fest, which the tickets were fairly cheap but sold out really freaking quick, turns out if you went, not only was the game incredibly glitchy and the servers for the game went down a couple of different times, but there were so many people packed into this area that the cell phone towers could not handle the volume.
This doesn't surprise me. Pokemon Niantic, particularly, how many times has Pokemon Go been, I'll just admit, I'll go ahead and say it. When it first released, I get it, there are bugs. There are bugs that you need to work out. There are server issues that you need to work out. A year later, you're still having these problems.
That was a year.
Come on, guys.
So people were furious. There were some great memes. One of my favorite memes was, hey, didn't get a chance to go to Pokemon Go Fest? Here's what it's like. Take your phone, go outside, and put on airplane mode, and then try to launch the game. because there's no signal.
That's so good.
Which was great. Now, I will say, for those of you who did go and had this terrible experience, you can get a refund. There are instructions that should be emailed out to you. You're also going to get $100 in Pokecoins added to your Pokemon Go account, so you can buy tons of Pokeballs and swag for your avatar character and all that. And there's some other stuff that they're going to be doing too, to kind of, you know, help people stay not super angry about that. You will have the Lugia legendary Pokemon added to your account, which is kind of cool because I've heard he's very difficult to get.
That's very nice of them to offer some kind of severance package for.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously feel bad, and there's nothing really they can do. They're not going to refund people, you know, plane tickets and hotel stays. Right. And things like that. It's just like a concert or any other live event. There's always a risk. And it sucks. I feel it for you guys. Hopefully you didn't travel too far. If you live in Chicago, then yeah, you had a bad weekend. That sucks. But some people traveled from very far to go to this
around the world, actually, which is ridiculous, if you ask me.
Super, super sad. But that's that.
Hey, but I get 100 Pokecoins.
Yeah, 100 Pokecoins, man.
$100 worth of Pokecoins. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, next up we've got some stuff about Blizzard. So do you want to lead either of these conversations? We got two pieces of news out of Blizzard.
No, you know, you are a news master, and I'm saving it all, for our topic. All
right, you're saving it for Ready Player One. Okay, so first, Overwatch League. It has been officially announced that Overwatch League players will be paid a minimum of $50,000 USD per year for their contract.
Not a little ridiculous?
They will be given a one-year guaranteed with an option for a second year. Do you think that's ridiculously high or low?
I know it's low compared to professional athletes. However, I think it's a little high. It's a little high when it comes to...
But these guys are doing this as their full-time job.
You forget endorsements. These guys are going to get nasty endorsements.
I mean, like, theoretically...
Like pretty good.
Theoretically, so. They will, but the league as a whole, I mean, you have to think about these guys. This is their full-time job. They have to be able to support themselves financially.
So you're telling me you can't live at least somewhat comfortably on 50 grand?
No, no, no. That's why I'm not saying that that's a too much.
You know why it's so low? It's because they had to pay $10 million, $20 million to get into the league.
Yeah, $20 million. They are going to get health insurance. They're going to get a retirement account.
So the benefits add up.
They also get prize money for their performance if they do well.
And endorsements.
And then we learned a little bit more about team size. They have to have a minimum of 6 players, which you have to have 6 players to play a game of Overwatch.
Game, yeah.
So if you want to go lean with no alternates, you can do that. And then you can have a max of 12, so an alternate for everybody. And the really interesting thing is that it doesn't matter where these players are, where they're from. Region doesn't matter, which is very different from a lot of... professional sports have, you know, they like to have their players kind of local now, like the NFL, the NBA, MLS, MLB, all that. That's not the case. And so this is handled very much.
So
like
do
those.
You think they'll adjust? Do you think people in different countries will get different salaries?
I think it all has to translate back to approximately $50,000 a year. There's going to be some exchange rate things and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, it's going to have to be fairly even, at least for the time being. Now, that's a minimum salary. So they can pay people more,
right?
But you just can't pay people less.
I think it's a little high for...
But this is the Premier League, though, right? So if you look at, like, there are other professional leagues for, you know, hockey, baseball, things like that, where players don't make millions. They make tens of thousands, and in some cases make $25,000, $30,000 a year. But this is the Premier League. This is the top-level Overwatch League, where the teams are $20 million a pop. So... if the teams are worth $20 million a piece, and this is the top-level league for the sport, then the players need to be paid at least a fairly decent livable wage. Now, keep in mind that some of these people are going to live in New York and L.A. where it's very expensive, right? 50 grand a year where we are in Kansas City is not so bad, but 50 grand in L.A. or San Francisco is nothing. You can't live
on
that.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
See, that's kind of one of those things you wonder, like, well... I imagine in negotiations, they'll probably ask for more.
Depending on where they live, yeah. Right, exactly.
So, a minimum of 50 grand is a nice floor, I want to say.
Sure, I think it's
fine. I think it's fair and probably a little high in my personal opinion, because if you factor in benefits and you factor in endorsements, like I feel like some of these guys get a chance to make a lot more.
But nobody in professional sports has their contract with their team adjusted down because they might have sponsorships.
That's fair. That's a fair point.
You know?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you can't complain that it's too low.
No, I'm not complaining that it's too low.
But if I were getting that salary, I would be like, okay, well, I need to get an endorsement to make up for the whatever cost of living I want.
Well, but that's, you know, that's part of it, and we'll kind of see how that goes, but it's a good floor.
It's a good floor.
The last piece of news also has to do with Blizzard, that Russell Brower is a composer for Blizzard. I mean, he's done stuff from StarCraft and Diablo, did things for WoW, like the Burning Crusade, and he has been let go because his position no longer exists. We got a bit of a quote from him here that my current position of overall senior audio director is no longer relevant and is being eliminated. So basically the team has just changed a lot. There's a lot more people involved in different locations and the position just doesn't exist anymore.
So how old is he?
I do not know his actual age.
The question is, was he close to retirement and is he getting a severance?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's not like a union for that type of thing. I don't think
he's never. So, I guess what I'm getting at is like they don't really just fire people. Let's blanket it. He was fired. Okay.
Well, no. I mean, there is an opportunity. We don't know the inner workings. It's very possible that there's no more need for his role. He does say that he can work in the future as a contractor. for Blizzard, and he'll just be his own boss in that case. So there's a possibility that he'll continue, you know, doing work for these games.
You think he signs a non-compete? You cannot go to EA.
I mean, I wouldn't imagine that they would do that to him in this particular case, but, you know, I mean, he's done work on their biggest titles, so I find it hard to believe that he was involved in so many of them and he was fired. I think he was let go because the team changed, times change. We don't need the same types of roles that we needed 10 years ago.
I guess I'm saying is he hasn't done anything wrong, so it's probably... I don't think he's looking at it as a negative.
No, I don't think so.
He may be getting a severance.
I mean, he might be. Blizzard might be taking care of him.
Sometimes the payout for those severances is that good.
Sometimes. No one's ever offered me something like that, so I don't know. But that's it, I think, for news.
That's it.
All right, so we're going to move on then to our main topic. John, why don't you start us off?
So, guys, if you were watching at San Diego Comic-Con, there was a lot of trailers dropped, one of the trailers being the Ready Player One. Now, Ready Player One is a Steven Spielberg film that is basically a dystopian society of a kid who basically escapes this society by playing video games. And we're talking, like, not just, like, I don't know, on a console or a computer. We're talking, like, full 3D. It almost looks like they link into the game.
Well, it's VR, right?
But, like, better. Because it does take place in 2044.
Yeah.
So, I guess our VR is that badass in 2044. Either way, there was a lot of really cool nodes and homages to Steven Spielberg's films. It had a lot of feel to about...
just a lot of pop other culture games.
Oh, yeah, in general, just... So, it looks really cool, and it's very topical, considering you guys, the listeners, like to play games. So, I'm going to talk about it.
I'm going
to
throw some water on this. Because
he's dealing with a lot of water today, and it's on his mind.
I don't think that trailer did a good job of explaining to a non-book reader, someone who never read the book, what the fuck is going on in that movie.
What do you need to know? The kid escapes society by playing a game.
Okay, but that in itself is not...
What else do you need to know?
That's not a plot, though. So we just watch him play video games for 2 hours?
Yeah.
That sounds boring. I don't want to watch... So I can play video games. So tell me this. Based solely on the trailer, if you've never read the book, because I think a lot of people have not, it's not that old of a book. It was from 2011.
I haven't read it.
Okay, so you tell me, why does that seem more exciting than playing your own video games?
Oh, it's the fact that it takes place in a... It's the type of game, though. It's like what we wish our VR could be. So the part that's exciting for me, particularly, is... I have full faith that there's probably a story that goes along with this. It'll probably be along the lines of teenage boy... I actually think it's going to be more like a... There's an anime where they get trapped in the game,
uh-huh.
And they actually die in real life. They die in the game, and the only way to escape the game is to win.
Sure.
Okay? So
yeah, lots of stuff.
It's very Jumanji, very... I feel like that's the plot we're going to go for, because that's kind of what these games call for. But what appeals to me is I like the references. I like what VR could be. And it looks like it's just going to be a hell of a fun time, at least visually striking. At the minimum.
Okay. Well, I mean...
It gets you excited to play games, is what I'm saying.
I think my worry about it is that, really, the trailer was just a ton of 80s references and pop culture references, right? You saw Iron Giant, there's Deadpool, the Back to the Future DeLorean is in there, there's Freddy Krueger. I even saw a
RoboCop-type character.
So, there's just tons and tons of references, and I need some story in there. The actual book itself... deals with a lot of dystopian economic issues. So basically, you know, it is in the future. It's 2044, and there's, you know, giant energy crises, right? There's not enough power and jobs to go around and things like that. The world is overpopulated.
You said playing this in the beginning of the trailer and like a looked like a junkyard.
Well, there's that. We're gonna talk about that. Basically. That's kind of the whole point, in that what happens in the game does translate to the real world to a certain extent. Like, the money that you earn in the game works in the real world. Yeah. So it's an opportunity for you, kind of like Second Life, if anyone out there ever played Second Life, for you to make virtual money that can actually help you in the physical world. But what really bothers me here is that, so if you look at the trailer, yeah, he's climbing through, like, you know, these trailer houses that are stacked on top of each other. They're called the stacks, which, you know, okay, fine.
Very unique.
And the tech is all really old, right? Those things look old for today, 2017.
Okay.
Don't they? I mean, do any of those trailers look like they were made after this podcast?
No, but you're totally right. They definitely do. But I looked at it as the technology that he was using was far advanced. So it's very likely that his family or whoever whatever he does, he's very good at the game, and he's spent a lot of, probably all his money on that.
But I think my problem, though, with that dichotomy is that we have this super advanced technology, but you're living in these types of housing structures that...
He's clearly in poverty.
Clearly, yeah. Right? So then the question would be, yeah, how can he afford this technology?
Because all his money's going to it.
All of his money's
or
going
to it. Or he made it himself.
I don't think so.
He said he should have been born in the 80s in the very beginning.
Because he likes all the references.
Or he's just a genius kid from the 80s. Genius kids in the 80s built everything.
But that technology, the technology for this VR is more advanced than anything we have today, right? So, but yeah, he loves the Tron references and the Back to the Future references.
Who doesn't want to drive a Tron bike?
I would love to ride a light cycle. I would love to have my own DeLorean. Don't get me wrong. But I'm worried that that's what they're banking on. And to make things more interesting for those of you out there who have read the book, Steven Spielberg has been quoted saying that, and I'm paraphrasing here, that the movie is not a direct adaptation of the book. That is his interpretation of that particular universe using the book's characters and some of the plot points.
So that's a little scary.
So it does mean that if you did read the book and you absolutely love the book, that you very well may be disappointed.
Disappointed, yeah.
At the same time, it may just be different enough that you won't care. Kind of just depends, but I don't know, man. Like, I guess I'm not understanding why people are so excited about it.
Well, it's the first trailer, number one.
It is the first trailer.
You really never get much in the first trailer. At the minimum, you could be excited for the visuals.
So I think maybe I'm at this point, I'm too used to them adapting things I already know the whole background for.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, it's a Flash movie. All I need is a poster. And it's like, oh, it's the Flash. I don't really need an explanation.
So, like, let me ask you this. We're looking at his computer, and there's a Justice League poster in here, right? There's actually the newest Justice League poster.
Oh, on my desktop? On my
wallpaper?
The
very first Justice League trailer literally had nothing going on at all. It was just Ben Affleck in a bar looking for Aquaman. And yet you were very excited about that.
Well, because BVS set up what he was doing. We knew what he was doing already. He was going to find the others.
I'm just saying, though, first trailers don't show much. And number two, you were excited because you knew the premise behind it. It's kind of like this. It's like, I know this has to do with video games, and I know it's going to have some fun.
But here's the difference. The difference is that millions upon millions of people know the Justice League. They know who Batman is. They know who Aquaman is and Wonder Woman, right? But I would think far fewer people know what happens in Ready Player One.
I like that. I don't want to know. Like, it's the Walking Dead syndrome for me. You can follow the Walking Dead exactly, and because I've read the comics, I know what's going to happen. And that's boring. So I think it's kind of a... It could go either way. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to butcher some stuff, but I'm sure he's going to do other things right.
Okay. Well, then let's talk a little bit about the trailer then. So there, a lot of the references were in there. What was your favorite moment in the trailer?
Everybody's favorite moment when they see that giant wrecking ball come through the street and the DeLorean just dodges it.
That was cool. See,
that was probably one of the coolest scenes, because can you imagine being in the race, the driver's seat?
Yeah, man, I would play that game, that's for sure. I think my favorite moment, though, was seeing the Iron Giant in beautiful HD CGI.
That was very cool.
Because, you know, if you haven't seen the Iron Giant and you're a sci-fi or superhero fan, go see that movie. It is just brilliant hand-drawn animation. The Blu-ray came out last year for it. But to see it in like HD CGI is really
cool.
Neat.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That was a cool moment for me. I really like that.
Something I want to point out as well, and again, this isn't something we normally do, but this is very video game related.
Okay.
But breaking down the trailer, you can tell the rich society who was playing the games.
Well, so I was gonna ask you that. So when they have the car racing scene and all those people are running up to their seats, are those real people?
I would assume that those are people, real people playing those characters, but there's the scene where they're all strapped in white and they get inside this little pod.
Right.
I assume that's the, yeah, that's got to be upper class playing.
Okay, so that's what happens when you have money.
So you wonder, though, is that Grand Prix like a death race type thing? And then the winner of that race gets a lot of money that translates in the real world?
Probably. I don't think it's a death race.
Oh, there's a giant wrecking ball.
But I don't think any of the people are actually dying.
That might be the twist.
The characters might. No, I really don't think.
What's the rating we're shooting for?
Well, I think it's going to be PG-13, right? Yeah. But the thing is, first off, the race isn't in the book. So that's a whole new aspect to it, right? And I just don't see them killing off these characters. Now, it would be interesting because they do have a population problem. If they go that route, now you've piqued my attention because that's some Soylent Green shit right there.
See, I already call it. That's the standard, plot line is the game is killing them, picking them off.
Well, so let's bring this back to video games for a minute here. So it is VR. The whole thing, that's all VR stuff, right? So how do you feel about the way they portrayed that VR compared to today's technology? Do you think we can actually get there?
You know, it didn't look realistic, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So if you guys watch it, he puts a little, let's call it a necklace.
Yeah, whatever that
thing. Basically a chess piece that projects the screen on his face. Okay.
No, he's got the goggles. He's got the lens.
He puts that on and then puts the goggles on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my question, though, is, like, what is this doing, the neck?
Oh, thing? I assumed it was doing, like, tracking his head motion and things like that.
Then what about the rest of his body?
Well, that's why he had the gloves.
But that's his hands and his neck.
Yeah.
What about his legs?
Well, he's one of the poorer people.
Right.
Right? If you in the scene in that white room where they're all walking to their chairs, like, they're wearing different stuff.
Other than the neck thing, I think we already have that. Like, the Vive has that already.
Vive.
The Vive, V, whatever you want to call it. There's
it
a lot of
have, it doesn't have gloves, though. You got to use their weird controllers.
We had, do you recall the old gaming, what was that?
The Power Glove?
The Power Glove. We've had that in the 80s.
But that was, it didn't use motion controls, really. It was more of just the buttons and stuff. But, I mean, having gloves that really let you use your hands, use your individual fingers and things like that in the game would be a pretty cool advantage.
I think we can get there. That for sure. Yeah. The neck thing, I don't know what it does.
You don't know what it does.
I don't know enough. But I think 2044, to say VR has advanced that far,
yeah,
is probably likely. That's the part that piques me, is it's very sci-fi-y without actually delving. I mean, it's giving you the references of the sci-fi movies.
Right.
And it's subliminally telling us, this is a sci-fi movie. But I think to say that that's, I think that's very likely that we will be at that point in 2044. That's a really long time. And I actually be quite disappointed if we aren't beyond that, to be honest with you.
Well, but we'll be in this stacked up dystopia where we don't have any money and all live in
trailers. Dude lives in Ohio, and he says, but Ohio is still a big producing.
No, it's the fastest growing city in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. It still sucks today. It sucks today, so it still sucks.
It's got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and yeah, it's bad.
That's it. He couldn't listen anymore.
The Browns.
but
sorry if you're from Cleveland. We don't really.
We're not poking fun.
I've driven through it, so no offense actually intended. Let's do this for a minute. Can you name another movie that did something similar? That was successful.
That was successful? No. I mean, I don't know what you guys like or consider successful, but there was a film called The Gamer that starred Gerard Butler, which was kind of a bigger name.
Yeah.
And it starred, what's that kid? He did The Lightning Thief, Percy Jackson and The Lightning Thief.
Yeah.
He was playing. So the premise of the movie was people could play real people that were in prison in, like, a Call of Duty-style match.
So I never actually saw it because I thought it looked terrible. How did that work? Was there, like, an implant? So that way, so the player controlled all physical movement?
Everything. So, basically, it was very much like So the implant would take over when they entered the arena. And the arena had boundaries. If you went out of the boundaries, you were hunted down and killed.
Okay.
Very much like Running Man.
Okay.
So there was arena. And, yes, they had 100% control over the body.
Okay.
Now, once the game ended, the actual person is back in their body. They can basically see what's happening, but can't do anything about it. So there was a scene in that movie that I thought was really kind of clever and innovative, and it explained a lot. There was a Sims game that they were playing, and people were doing ridiculous things in the in this Sims-type game, playing as real people.
Right.
You know, and there was sex and drugs and all this crazy stuff going on in this. And they would, and like when they would get hurt, you know, the players would make the people get up and walk on broken ankles and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And it was kind of an interesting to appeal to the human side of that. But what I'm getting at is the concept of the movie was, it's kind of interesting. However, was it successful? I don't know. So
that was kind of like virtual reality, because it was real.
Yeah.
So this is a little different, of course. So, I mean, this kind of takes the edge away a little bit, because at least that was a unique idea.
Well, your person died. Your person actually died. Like it was,
right, you're controlling real people. So that's kind of a unique, different kind of thing.
Yeah.
Versus this is literally, if we're going to watch a kid play VR games.
So that brings the major question, like, what makes this game so important in this time? Is it really just an escape for fun?
Well, there's like a treasure hunt that they're going on that, you know, if you...
The game needs stakes.
Yeah, and so there's like a fortune that you win if you are the winner of this particular game. But again, it's literally, we're just watching somebody play a game. I mean, Wreck-It Ralph is much more interesting than that.
It's amazing. Wreck-It Ralph is a great game.
Right? Because, I mean, that's about the daily lives of the actual characters that we control. That's much more interesting to me, to kind of learn that the bad guys aren't really okay with being bad all the time, and the good guys aren't really good all the time. And, you know, I like that.
That was a different take.
So this basically,
people were playing them.
This just kind of takes away all the soul. There's no human life at stake. There's no digital life at stake. It's literally a poor kid playing video games hoping to make money. So that just doesn't really do it for me.
Well, so I mean, I can't convince you any more than what you saw. We both saw the same trailer, but I think we might get a little more in the next trailer, hopefully.
Yeah, probably.
Because we're speculating the plot right now, but
I mean, the key that's in the book, the key at the end, you know, that's in the book. I mean, there's certain things that are from the book. We just don't know what Spielberg will have changed.
Well, he'll keep in discard because
it could be whatever he wants, really. So
yeah, movie adaptions sometimes don't work out, and that's more often than not.
Ready Player One, based on a true novel. It's a real novel.
But the thing is, like, guys, video game wise, if this existed, if we were there at some point, that'd be really cool.
Oh, absolutely! I would love to play these games.
Yeah,
to walk next to the Iron Giant or to attack Freddy Krueger with a machine gun. Like, those things sound great.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah, the race scene is really cool. To drive a DeLorean or a Tron light cycle. But for a movie, I need some substance.
I have faith in Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
I think people, if someone's going to do a movie book adaption and keep the good parts,
he's usually
pretty good at it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he's usually pretty solid.
Well, is there anything else, then, that you want to add to this?
Guys, if you haven't seen the trailer and you just listened to this entire podcast, go watch the trailer and form your own opinion.
Yeah, go check it out. It's the SDCC reveal trailer. The book, Ready Player One, is available now. It's by Ernest Cline. It came out back in 2011, so it should be available in paperback, I would imagine, at this point. There is an audiobook version that I would really recommend that is narrated by none other than Will Wheaton himself.
Oh, really?
That's pretty cool. Will Wheaton does a great job narrating books. So if you've ever thought for a moment that audiobooks are a little bit too boring or droll, man, you know, Will Wheaton does a great job. So I would definitely recommend that if it's something that you would prefer to listen to. There are talks of a sequel, but you know, he hasn't actually written that one yet, so we'll just kind of have to see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, from what I can tell, like, I haven't read the book either, but from what I can tell, it looks like he has done some screenplay writing in the past.
A little bit, yeah. He did Fanboys.
It's like he almost wrote a novel for a movie.
That seems, yeah. I mean, it was super successful. It's won a ton of awards and was in a bidding war, basically, before it was published and and all of that. So, yeah, it's definitely worth a read. I'm just not so sure the movie will live up. That's all.
We will find out.
We will. All right, well, that's going to be it for us, because I've had a very long week, and I'm going to go eat some dinner.
That sounds appetizing, literally. Okay, well, guys, hey, you know where to find us. Derek, drop them on the...
at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook and Twitter, heroespodcast.com. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. We're still running our contest. When we hit 10 reviews, we will pick a winner at random and talk to you about what game we should send you. Could be a console game, could be a PC game. We really want to give you something that you would like. You don't even have to give us 5-star reviews. At this point, we will take any legitimate reviews, and we'll give you a shout-out on the show.
Come on, guys. This is a free game. Like,
free game.
Like, if I'm giving you stuff...
Like legitimately, if you play your cards right, you could get a free AAA title out of the deal.
That's pretty nice.
So, you know. Or an indie title. Whatever you're into. No judgment here. I play both. All right. So that's it. We'll catch you guys next time. Thanks for tuning in.